Psalm 40, let's stand please for the reading of God's word. We'll begin in verse number 1. Verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, as we preach this morning, Lord, that you would minister to the hearts. I think that for some, this is a very, very much a prescribed message. Even as a doctor would prescribe something that is immediately needed and that needs to be taken. And Lord, to help us right here today. For others, Lord, this would be something that they could take with them. And maybe in the weeks and months ahead, Lord, as they face different things in life, this truth would come to them during those times, and you would use it to strengthen them. And Lord, we ask, please, for your presence and your power. Lord, you've promised to bless your word, so we ask, Lord, that promise be activated even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I spoke just briefly in our young adult class and reminded our folks down there the importance of having a daily, vibrant, meaningful relationship with the Word of God. I'm all for everybody having morning devotions. I think that's great. Matter of fact, what a great way to start the day. But if we're not careful, we might just have our devotions, interact with the Bible for a brief time, and then go our way and fail to allow the Word of God to go with us throughout the day and for God's Spirit to bring it to mind in our life. The Bible says in Psalm 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The result of that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe and am committed in my life to meditate on the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. David was certainly one that meditated on the Bible. Joshua was one that meditated on the Bible. By the way, study their lives. And although they were men, because the best of men are men at best, they were men that were blessed of God in an unusual way in their life. David wrote in Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And then in the 48th verse of the same chapter, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And then verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. I think preachers get sermons from a lot of different places. God gives sermons in a lot of different ways. But I will say this, that most of what I preach from this pulpit is something that God gave me during my devotions, just my morning devotions and the meditation on those devotions. I was reading Psalm 40 the other day, and matter of fact, I kind of wanted to preach. I mentioned this to Brother Reiser. There was a phrase in here, a thought that I wanted to preach, and I kind of began to study this with the intent of bringing that thought, but the Lord captivated me and took me a different direction. And so I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about something that the Lord has been ministering to my heart about, and I hope that he'll take this thought and help you today. David talked in this chapter about being in a, it's very interesting the phrase here, being in a horrible pit. a horrible pit. And David wrote of being trapped in that pit. He spoke of the horribleness of it. But he also writes in this psalm what it was like to be delivered and about the God who delivered him. Let me just first of all say this, because I want to speak to folks who may not have Christ as their Savior. Every person who is lost without Christ is trapped in the pit of sin. And it's a wonderful day. Just ask some Christians here if you don't believe me. Preacher, I'm not saved, and I hear people make a big to-do about it. But I want more than just a preacher's word from the pulpit. I encourage you, you just stop anybody around here and ask them after the service, are you a born-again Christian? Then ask them this, was that a good day or a bad day? And I think that you'll hear from every Christian the testimony that it wasn't only just a good day, it was the greatest day of their life, the day that they received Christ as their Savior. In a real sense, folks, salvation pulls us out of a horrible pit. Doesn't solve all of our problems. It doesn't make life without challenges. But now we face them with God. And there is something about the Christian life that gives purpose and meaning to life. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you to consider that today. But I want to say in this chapter, when David talks about being delivered from an horrible pit, he is not talking about being saved here. I want to say this. Every person who is lost is, in a sense, trapped in the pit of sin. And if they do not get saved, they're going to end up spending eternity in another pit, a horrible pit. The Bible talks about the bottomless pit. So I would encourage you to be saved today. But let me say this, and this is where I want to kind of go with the message. Every person who is saved will at some time find themselves in a pit of testing. In a pit of testing. Now I began to take this thought with me, and as I was meditating on this chapter throughout this day and this past week, I began to think of the different Christians. I just kind of sometimes start in Genesis, and as best I can mentally, I flip through in my mind in a chronological fashion and try to remember all of the Bible characters and the major Bible stories, and it was amazing how all of a sudden these stories begin to jump out of Christians who had at one time or another actually found themselves physically in a pit. One of the first ones that came to mind was Joshua. I'm not going to have you turn to all these stories, but those of you that know your Bible some, I'll tell you a little bit about the story. But Joshua, back in the book of Genesis chapter 37, this was the favored son of Jacob. This was the young man that received the coat of many colors. This was the man, the young man of the family who seemed to have the hand of God and the power of God upon him. Matter of fact, it was Joseph who was visited during the night hours with divine dreams. And God would send these dreams to him, telling him that there was something special, something spectacular waiting in his future. But let me say this, young people, and I'm not speaking just to our seniors today, but let me say this to them also. Let me say that no matter what it is that God has for you to do, and no matter what He's called you to do, like Joshua, in between the day that God gave him that dream and the day that that dream is fulfilled, there are going to be some times of real testing in your life. There's going to be some pit experiences in your life. When Joshua came at his father's request to check up on his brothers, they said with disdain, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." They knew God's hand was on him, and they knew that God had special things for him, and they were consumed with jealousy. And you remember the story how the brothers decided that they would throw him in a pit. At first, their idea was to throw him in a pit and then slay him. But Reuben, the older brother, finally talked them out of that course of action, and instead they sold him into slavery. But Joseph, one of the greatest of all of the Old Testament Bible character, said, you know what? He spent some time in the pit. I call this the pit of preparation for the future. Let me say this. If God's going to use you as a young person in a great way in your life, He's probably going to allow you to have to spend some time in a pit. You know what? He's going to make it so and allow it to be so that you have to face some real times of darkness, some real difficulties in your life, because he must put in you the things that will allow you one day to succeed in what he's called you to do. I found this out. People that live on easy street tend to stay there. They don't usually accomplish a whole lot with their life. But show me that person that's been allowed of God. And let me just say this. I'll be so bold as to say it. Blessed of God to have had some pit experiences in their life. This happened to Joshua when he was still a fairly young man. He was a young man. And God allowed him to have this pit experience. And you know what? If you read his life, that wasn't the only pit experience in Joshua's life between when he was when he received the dream of greatness and when he experienced the reality of greatness. There were some times that Joshua had to spin down in the pit for a while. I thought about Job. Very interesting what the Bible says about Job. In the midst of Job's heartache, in the midst of Job's loss, God sent him, I think it was God, maybe Satan sent him, three friends. And then a fourth one tagged along just to put the icing on the cake. But in Job chapter 33, I'll read the verse here. God looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. And his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with men to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of living. Isn't it interesting that two times in this portion of Scripture, this is not a physical pit that Job ended up in, but it was a soul pit. Have you ever been in a soul pit? There's some Christians here, there's some people here that have had a little bit of experience in life, and you know what? All of this is ringing a bell with them. You're not going to live very long in this life, and you're not going to try to live the Christian life, especially for very long, where you don't find yourself sometimes in a soul pit. You all know the story of Job, and of course, God allowed some opening in the protective hedges of his life. God did not do the evil or send the evil, but he allowed an opening in the hedge. He gave Satan a signed permission slip with specific boundaries because he knew that at one time in the future, he wanted to bless Job with a double portion of everything that he had. But between where Job was and where he could receive that double portion, there had to be a soul pit experience. I'm just laying some groundwork here. I thought of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in the pit. Joseph, the pit of future preparation. Job, the pit of spiritual purification. Jeremiah was in a pit, the pit of steadfast preaching. You know, preachers get thrown in the pit sometime. Don't look surprised. A few of you have thrown me there a couple times. Yeah, preachers get thrown in the pit. You know what? In the days of Jeremiah, Israel had strayed so far from God and set up so many false idols, and they turned their heart from God, and a whole series of wicked kings. When Jeremiah comes on the scene, he has but one message to bring to the children of Israel. These are the words of God for that time and for those people, and that's this: judgment's coming. You're going into captivity. But you know what? The people and the men and the kings did not want to hear what Jeremiah preached. And so we can read, if we took the time, Jeremiah 38, we could read the story of how they threw him into a pit. And at the bottom of this, the Bible calls it a dungeon, but it was a dug pit. In the inner prison at the bottom of this was mire, and he not only was thrown into a pit, he was thrown into a pit with mire, and he began to sink in that mire at the bottom of that pit. And he would have perished there if it had not been for someone that had gone to the king and appealed the decision. And they finally gave the order to come and pull him out of that miry pit. They threw him a rope, but you know what? It wasn't strong enough. He wasn't strong enough to just hold on to the rope and be pulled up. He was sunk down into the mire, so they finally had to throw some rotten rags down, and he took the rotten rags and he put them in his armpits, and he put the ropes underneath his armpits, and they took strong men to pull him out of that mire. Are you thinking with me this morning? Let me just say this: just because you're in full-time service, because you're a preacher, just because you're a missionary, just because you're an evangelist, by the way, I'm talking also to key people in this church, just because you have sold out to serve the Lord does not mean that you will not have some pit experiences. I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel, the pit of proving his convictions. You know what? Daniel had a conviction in his life. And the conviction was this: 3 times a day I open my windows and I pray towards Jerusalem to the God of heaven. There was a day where that conviction was challenged. A decree was signed. Behind the scenes, this was orchestrated by jealous men who were envious of Daniel's position with the king. So they talked the king into passing a decree, a law, that no man was allowed to pray or to give a petition to anybody, even the God of heaven, no one except the king for a period of time. And you know what, folks? I will want to say this to you, and young people, please listen to me. Convictions cost. You might just want to write that down somewhere and remember it. If you have convictions at some point, it's going to cost you something. And then we'll find out if they're convictions. Anybody can make a conviction of prayer until all of a sudden the penalty of praying becomes a den of lions. Then you find out whether you have real convictions. Daniel ended up in a pit. This is exactly what that was. If you look up the word there in the Hebrew for the den, the word den there, it means a pit. It literally says a pit cut out for wild animals. Daniel was thrown in a pit. He was thrown down into a pit with wild animals. You know why? Because he was entering the pit of proving his conviction. So without me preaching on each of these or going into depth, do you understand that God, in the Word of God, has allowed some of the choicest servants of God to spend some time in a pit? Some of you are there now, aren't you? Some of you have been there recently. Preacher, I'm still not sure what you're talking about. Well, I got into the archives a little bit here and did some research. And I came up with a few stories that were interesting, I thought. Boy, I didn't spend much time. Matter of fact, I did this in about 10 minutes this morning. But I just kind of used the computer and I wanted to find some stories, see if I could find some men or women or children that had found themselves down in the bottom of a pit of some kind. I found this story dated August 17, 2008, Sonora, California. Man rescued from an abandoned gold mine after tumbling more than 100 feet and spending 2 nights at the bottom of the dark shaft said, watch this, his experience, he said this of his experience, it was the worst thing you can imagine. Are you thinking? Davis Lee Jr., 34, was pulled from the mine shaft by a specialized crew from Los Angeles at about 6 a.m. Crews lowered a rescue worker in a mesh basket into the chasm to get Lee out, Sheriff's Department said. But as Lee walked out of the Sonora Regional Medical Center after being treated for wounds, he said that his ordeal was very scary. I'm going to describe in a minute what it's like to be in a pit. Let these people testify. These are folks that have had this real physical experience. Lee of Sonora fell down a 100-foot shaft while exploring the mine Friday. Authorities were contacted Saturday after a friend who went with him realized Lee had not returned home. His rescue was briefly delayed while authorities waited for a search team to arrive from Los Angeles, about 300 miles to the southeast, with the right equipment and the experience for the job. In the meantime, local authorities lowered Lee a helmet and food and water. The mine had an entrance chained shut, but that is where Lee entered to explore the mine with a friend. Lee said that while he was exploring, he lost his footing and fell eventually the full 120 feet into chest-deep water. He said, you can see by the looks of it why this mine would be attractive to someone looking for a little adventure, but it can also be very deceiving. I wonder how many Christians have found themselves in a pit just because, you know what? That there was a chain on the door. What is it about us? You know, someone puts a chain on a door. Somebody puts a sign warning. And man alive, it's like that's where the young people want to go. Use some sense, young people. He said, I walked in there. I fell. It was dark. I didn't know when I was going to stop. Then at the end, he said this, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." How about this story? A man rescued after 11-day mineshaft ordeal. A man was rescued today after surviving up to 11 days trapped in a disused mineshaft. A group of children out on a nighttime nature walk heard his cries for help after they fell silent to listen to the sounds of the countryside. The man, aged in his 20s, was pulled out of the shaft in Somerset, near Somerset, by a cave rescue team, and was taken to a hospital where he was being treated for back and leg injuries and hypothermia. John Baker, manager of the Charterhouse Outdoor Activity Center, who raised the alarm, said today it was the children's first night at the center. They were walking in an area that had been closed due to foot and mouth restrictions. "We were out late last night doing a night hike on the first evening of their trip. We were just trying to listen to noises of the nautical night when all of a sudden we heard this cry at a place called Stainsbury Shaft, which was near to us. It turned out to be a man stuck down in the shaft." I was thinking about our teenagers out soul winning and how many times they're out there and they find somebody that's stuck down in a pit somewhere. If you're my age or older, you probably remember this story. There was a little 18-month-old girl by the name of Jessica McClure. Do you remember that? October 14th, 1987, 8:50 a.m., a call is received at the Midland Fire Department. This is in Midland, Texas. The caller tells the dispatcher that a little girl has fallen into a well. The dispatcher sends the nearest ambulance and rescue truck. Paramedics Bill Walker and Tim Owens were the first would-be rescuers to reach the home where the 18-month Jessica McClure had slipped down an abandoned well casing. The whole scene seemed unbelievable. The casing for the well was only 8 5/8 inch in diameter. By the way, one of the reasons I remember this story so clearly is this young lady would have been almost exactly the age of Amanda when this happened. She was this age when this event happened. Looking at the casing and hearing the child for themselves told Walker and Owens that their work was cut out for them. Walker used a flashlight to seek out Jessica, who had initially fallen 20 feet down the well, grabbing a garden hose and snipping the metal connections off both ends. Walker made a makeshift oxygen hose by clamping one end to the large master oxygen tank from his ambulance and lowering the other end into the well to Jessica. Other police and fire units were arriving on the scene. It was not long before they realized that the only way they could get her out was to dig another shaft. And this story's 3 pages long, but let me just say, this little girl ended up being in that shaft for 58 hours. They got a backhoe. They tried to dig down. They got just a few feet and hit bedrock. They ended up having to try to finally dig a parallel shaft down to get underneath her to finally free her. Little girl was caught with one leg dangling. You think of folks, 8 inches, 8 inches. She went in with one leg first and the other one pinned up against her body. And 58 hours later, they got her out of that pit. Now, by nature, the characteristics of a pit, when you think of someone that's down in a pit, someone down in a mine shaft, you no wonder David used these words. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you'll know it if you get into one. By nature, a pit is deep. You always see someone in the Bible going down into a pit. By nature, it's dark. By nature, it's confining. By its very nature, it's fearful. By its very nature, it's restrictive. By its very nature, it's depressing. And let me say this, by its very nature, that word in the Bible, by its very nature, has a demonic connotation to it. Isn't it interesting that this same word is also the word that's chosen to describe a place called hell? What I'm saying is this, folks, we as Christians, I'm not talking about lost people being down in a pit. I'm not talking about someone who's needing to be saved. I'm talking about Christians at time have these pit experiences where all of a sudden you're down into a situation and you're trapped in this situation. And you know what? You can't seem to get the help to get out of this situation. And I want to give you some things this morning about this. While you're in the pit, let me just go on and take this a step forward. When you as a Christian are in this pit of testing, there are going to be some things that are whispered to you, and they're going to be whispered to you by Satan. Stay with me here. When you're down in the pit, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear this. God has left you. God's left you. You're all alone. See, Satan tells you this to make you feel isolated. You'll hear this. God has forsaken you. He's left you. Satan tells you this because he wants you to feel betrayed. He'll say this. You're helpless. There's nothing you can do about it. Satan tries to tell you this because he wants you to give up. He wants you to feel like there's nothing you can do. He'll say things like this. Look around. It's dark. All is darkness. This is all you'll ever see is darkness. Satan tries to get you to give in to the terror of your situation. He'll say this. You know what? You're without hope. This is hopeless. Satan wants you to feel that you'll never get out. He'll say, you're being treated unfairly. This isn't fair. Satan tells you this because he wants you to begin to fill your life with bitterness against Almighty God. Then last of all, you'll hear this in the pit. You'll hear, you should just give up, surrender, just quit, just quit. I mean, just give up, just give in to it. Satan tells you that because he wants you to despair, and he wants you to self-destruct. Now, your pastor's come to the pulpit this morning because I've spent a little bit of time in my life in Christian pits, not unsaved pits, Christian pits. And I want to tell you that everything I just told you that you're hearing, I want to point the spotlight on the rascal who's whispering those things to you, because every single one of those things is a lie. Every one of them's a lie. Say, preacher, what's the truth of the pit? Here's the truth of the pit. Even though you're in a pit, you are not alone. God knows just where you are. And even though you're in a pit, you are not forsaken. God is preparing you for something great. And even though you're in a pit, you're not helpless. You can cry unto the Lord. And you know what? Yes, I know you look around and all seems darkness, but you have the light. And Jesus even said, you are the light. So don't despair. The truth of the pit is that you are not hopeless. This too will pass. You are not being treated unfairly. The greatest Christians in the world have spent time in the pit. Don't get bitter. Let it make you bitter for the Lord, not bitter against the Lord. Let me give you the truth of the pit, and that's this. You should not despair. Because I believe the greatest days of your Christian life is still ahead of you and will come as a result of God coming and lifting you out of that pit and putting your feet on a solid rock and establishing your goings. Now, real quickly, we're going to take about 5 to 10 minutes and just go back to Psalms chapter 40. And I want to give you some practical advice. Okay, preacher, what do you do if you find yourself in a pit? Let's just let the Bible teach us some things, okay? Number one, exercise patience. Hey, that one guy was in it for 2 days. The other guy had to wait 11 days. You know what you figure out after you spend the first 30 minutes thrashing and crying and kicking and hollering and screaming? You find out, guess what? Help didn't come in the first 30 minutes. Guess what? You just got to exercise some patience. God knows you're there, and He is allowing this for a purpose. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited for the Lord. Preacher, I want a fix. I do too. I was telling one of our brothers yesterday, I said, you know what? I think every preacher, when he gets called to preach, And when he gets his pastor and he begins to pastor, I think he ought to be able to walk into his office and over here on the right, on the bottom drawer, be able to open it up and have God provide for him a spiritual, magical wand. And every person that comes into the office with an unbelievable, crazy, I mean, it's just drenched in satanic influence. And if we dust it, it's got Satan's fingerprints all over it. And there's a mess that's come into their life. I just wish I could say, you've come to the right place. Reach down, open my drawer, wave my little spiritual magic Jesus wand, say a few abracadabras, and guess what? All of your problems go away. You not only leave the office happy, but I give you a suitcase with $1 million in it to go on your way. Let me say this. I don't have the wand, and I sure don't have $1 million. You know what? Honestly, there's many times in my office I just have to look across and say, wait patiently on the Lord. There's many times that a veteran Christian has to kneel beside another Christian at an altar and say, let me pray with you. And let me encourage you just to wait patiently on the Lord. Preacher, I don't like this. No, and I don't think that little 18-month-old girl liked very well 58 hours crying for her mommy from the bottom of an 8-inch pipe. You know what? But God did come and God did deliver her. I don't think that man enjoyed 2 hours in chest deep water crying for help, but God did see that he was brought out. And let me say this, I don't think the other man enjoyed the 11 days. And let me say this, Joseph didn't enjoy the pit nor being sold into slavery, and Job didn't enjoy all that came with the testings of God, and Jeremiah didn't enjoy being down in the miry pit for just preaching the truth, and Daniel didn't enjoy being in a lion's den all night long just for praying. But let me say this, folks, it's not just bad people, it's not just people that are disobedient that sometimes have to face this time of testing, it's some of the choicest Christians in the world. God has to put you in those situations so that you can be taught some things and so that your faith will be strengthened. Let me say this, if you're there, don't listen to the lies of the devil. Exercise patience. Number one, the Lord knows where you're at, and he's allowing this for a purpose, so you know what, just wait on the Lord. Number two, look for the Lord. Number one, exercise patience. Wait on the Lord. Number two, look for the Lord. Begin to look for him. Brother Jerry, I don't see him. Yeah, I've been there before. All's dark, I know. Job said, I looked on my right, looked on my left. I didn't see any sign of God. But you know what? I know he's somewhere, and I know he's got something going, and I know he hears my prayers, and one of these days he's going to show up. Look for the Lord. He is there with you. Well, I can't see him. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I know this about God. You can't go anywhere where God's not. Don't believe the lie that you are alone. You are not alone. Matter of fact, God's probably there stronger than he's ever been in your entire life. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get thrown in a pit, but they got thrown in a furnace. They looked around, and there's Jesus. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to ask Daniel one of these days, hey, Daniel, what was going down in that lion's den? Were there just lions down there with you, or was there something else going on? Hey, Joseph, when you were down in that pit, you were listening to your brothers arguing back and forth about whether they should just outright murder you or sell you into slavery. Were you in that pit alone, or were there something else going on in there? Job, when you were being surrounded by your quote-unquote friends, and while they were heaping blame and discouragement your way, wasn't there some other voice you heard? There had to be for you to say some of the things that you said. What I'm saying is this, I don't know who you are or where you're at, but I promise you, all over this room, there are Christians that have been in a pit. Maybe not the exact pit that you're in, but they've been into a similar pit. And you know, they'd be the first one to come to you and say, you've got to wait on the Lord, and you've got to start looking for the Lord, because whether or not you believe it or not, he's on his way. And I got good news for you. I looked every, and I've got 4 or 5 other places in the Bible where Christians that I know of ended up in a pit. But let me say this, not a one of them died in that pit. Let me say it again, not a one of them died in that pit. Let me say it again, not a one of them died in that pit. So number one, exercise patience, trust in the Lord. Number two, find the Lord. Look for the Lord. You know what? Because he's there with you. Let me give you another thought. Here's this. Trust in the Lord. He will deliver you. Brother Jerry, that sounds pretty optimistic. I've learned to be pretty optimistic. Trust in the Lord. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. Now, sooner or later, he's going to come to you. Sooner or later, you're going to be able to say, like David said, you know what? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. By the way, cry out to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. And then you're going to be able to say, in hindsight, you're going to be able to testify, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. When he does that, don't forget to praise the Lord. That's the next thing. Praise the Lord. He deserves that. But I want to give you the next thought, and I want to work our way down to it. Notice verse number 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now, this is the little phrase I was going to try to preach on. Would you underline it if you don't mind marking in your Bible? Many shall see it. Did you get that? Many shall see it. Brother Jerry, I just don't understand why God would put a Christian through some of this. Many shall see it. I don't understand why God let this happen to me. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The greatest opportunity that you have to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is when you're down in a pit. And you know what? You exercise the patience that God wants you to exercise. You spend time crying out. You spend time looking. You spend time trusting. And then when God delivers you, the praise on your lips and the deliverance that people see, you know what? That gives you a great opportunity to testify unto the greatness of Almighty God. Now, folks, listen to me. I believe this. I believe God allows some awful good Christians to go through some pretty tough things. You know why? Because he knows that the best witness for him is a Christian who has gone through a real trying experience and comes out on top. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't despair. Don't lose your faith. You know what, folks? I'm just going to tell you this. I'm a lot more impressed with somebody who's still serving the Lord after several pit experiences than I am someone serving the Lord who's never had a pit experience. Well, we live in a funny world. I don't know where the mentality comes from. But it just seems like so many Christians have the idea of, well, I'll serve the Lord as long as everything goes well. I'll serve the Lord and be faithful as long as all my bills are paid. I'll serve the Lord and be faithful as long as I can treat him like a genie in the bottle, and all I got to do is just rub the bottle and he comes out and I tell him what I want and he gives it to me in a timely fashion. But you know what? The Christian life, the Bible says they that live godly must suffer persecution. The Christian life, you know what? It's full of times of testings, and there are going to be these pit experiences. And folks, let me say this. You've got to be careful that you do not listen to the lies of the devil during those times in your life. But you listen to the Holy Spirit of God, who will whisper the truths of God during that time. If you'll listen, he'll whisper the truths. You'll hear God say, you're not alone. You'll hear God say, you're not forsaken. You'll hear God say, you're not helpless. You'll hear God say, you're not in darkness. You'll hear God say, you're not without hope. You'll hear God say, you're not being treated unfairly. Hey, you know what? I've been down in this same pit with some of the greatest Christians in the world. And you'll hear God say, don't despair, because I'm doing this so that I can bring glory and honor to myself through your life one of these days when I get you out of this pit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want this to just take a moment. Let this sink into us this morning. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you'd take the truths that we've given today and help us, Lord, as we go through some of the difficulties of our lives, when we face the times of testings. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us. It is a scary thing. David talked about it being a horrible experience. Lord, I think the scriptures support this. Lord, we can just read the stories. We can take a minute and try to put ourselves in that situation. This analogy that is used in the scriptures, very accurate. It's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to despair. But I pray, Lord, that we would persevere in our faith so that one day we can share a Psalms 40 testimony with those around us. Maybe sometimes stand on the edge of a pit and share a Psalms 40 testimony with someone who for some time maybe has to be trapped in the pit. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd lift up feeble hands and encourage discouraged hearts. You'd come alongside and strengthen. Lord, help us to realize whatever you've asked us to face and whatever you've asked us to go through, there will be a victory day. There'll be a testimony day. There'll be a witnessing day. There'll be a praise and rejoicing day. Help us to keep our faith. Help us to, Lord, not put a black mark on your name because of something that we have been asked to go through. We pray these things in Jesus' name.